Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I've told you that I have a dog in the fight when it comes to labor unions. I'm not crazy about them. I've been forced to be a member on a couple of occasions, and when I had those occasions, I quickly moved to do what I could to help decertify those labor unions, because I didn't want to be represented by those people. I wanted to represent myself, and that goes all the way back to my 20s. So if you wonder why I have a point of view about it, it's because of that, because of labor union thugs who told me, you can't work hard, Lars. If you do, you make everybody else look bad. And I said, no, I make everybody else look average, and I look better than average, and there's nothing wrong with that. So that's why I looked forward so much to last year's Supreme Court decision in the case of Mark Janus. The Janus decision by the U.S. Supreme Court said, if you work for the government and you're forced to be a member of a labor union because you don't live in the minority of states that do not already have right-to-work laws, you don't have to continue being a member of that union. And already the unions have lost some percentage of their members because people now have a choice. They can say, I want to belong or I don't want to belong. Now, that only applies to government workers. I'd like to see it go to the rest of the workforce. Mark Mix joins me now, who's president of the National Right to Work Committee. Mark, it's good to have you back on the program.
Lars, it's good to hear your voice, and it's an exciting time for us at Right to Work. I think the last time we were together, you gave me a coin. We were talking about the Janus decision and a great day for workers in the public sector. And like you, we're hoping for a great day for private sector workers as well.
I gave you one of those challenge coins that says on one side, illegitimate non-carborundum, don't let the bastards grind you down. Well, in this case, I think we're winning in this case. We have a majority of American states that recognize workers' right to work. We now have the Janus decision that says government employees do not have to belong to a labor union if they choose not to. How do we get this to the point, and what's happening in the Congress to extend this same kind of freedom to all Americans?
Well, actually, Lars, it's very simple. The bill that just got introduced in the United States Senate by Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, Senate Bill 525, is probably one of the shortest bills that's been introduced in Congress in the last couple of decades. You know, we've had these bills of 2,300 pages and 1,600 pages that we have to pass before we know what's in them. Well, the Right to Work law is a one-page bill. It has not added a single word to federal law. It simply repeals the provisions in the 1935 labor policy that was promulgated by Franklin Roosevelt that forced American workers actually to join a private organization for the privilege of working. So what we're going in and doing is we're going into the Wagner Act. We're repealing those provisions, saying that unionism should be voluntary. That's all the bill does.
And Rand Paul has introduced this. Here's my concern. I think that the president would sign this, although you may tell me otherwise. But can we get a bill like this through the House of Representatives?
Yeah, we probably can. It will be a good fight. But I think the American people deserve to know who is for freedom and who is for coercion. And a vote in either the Senate or the House would indicate that and hold those politicians accountable to continue to protect this special privilege by organized labor to have a worker fired for failure to tender dues or fees. That's the important thing. I think we have the votes in the Senate, and the president, when he was on the campaign trail, actually indicated that he would sign a national right to work law if we could get it to his desk, and I don't think anything's changed on that front.
Okay, so but what about the House of Representatives, where it goes over there? Am I wrong in assuming that the majority of Democrats, maybe even all of the Democrats, will vote to support the labor unions, while the minority party, the Republicans, won't have enough votes to get it passed? Or am I adding up am I counting the noses wrong?
No, I think you're probably counting them right. And unfortunately, issues like this, the labor policy, obviously organized labor using this forced unionism privilege to collect fees from workers who would not pay them if they had the choice, they turn around and use that money for politics. And unfortunately, it gets focused on one particular party. I don't need to tell you who that is. I think you understand that. But, yeah, I don't think Richard Trumka and the AFL-CIO and Jimmy Hoffa at the Teamsters Union would ever let any Democrat off the hook on this vote. Their privilege has been in place for over 80 years. It's been a good privilege. It helps them collect over $20 billion a year in revenue, and it makes for good political theater. They can use that money to elect guys that give them more power both at the state legislative level and at the congressional level.
So how do we get past that? Or do we just have to wait until the House is back in Republican hands to be able to get real freedom for these workers?
Well, I think the most important step right now, Lars, is to get a vote. I mean, these politicians come to Washington, and they don't want to have any accountability at all. They can vote on milk months and insect of the month and cookie of the year and naming post offices. But when it comes to substantive issues like this, like forcing an individual to pay money to a private organization for the purpose of working, they want nothing to do with the bill. So Nancy Pelosi and her team on the in the House will probably do everything they can to stop this bill from coming up. There are a couple of opportunities, I think. AOC there, the gal from Brooklyn, is talking about green jobs, and every job would be a union job. That sounds like something you could amend. Maybe they would they allow us an opportunity to talk about freedom in the workplace during that debate if it comes up. So I think the most important thing is the accountability, having the vote, and then going back and having a dialogue with the American people about who's for freedom and who's for coercion.
Well, I can't wait to see that happen. Because, Mark, I've enjoyed that kind of freedom most of my life. I only had a couple of short occasions where I had to belong to a labor union to take the job that was offered to me in both television and radio, and I hated it. And I could cite all kinds of examples where the unions will really act like thugs toward their own members, and I felt that lash for a while. And I remember telling a union shop steward who had come to me, I was working on documentaries on my days off, and I won a bunch of awards for the documentaries, and it advanced my career. And he said, we're going to stop you. And I said, how are you going to stop me from coming in on my own time? And he said, we will file a grievance on your behalf against your employer, demanding all the overtime we think that you're due. And I was stunned. I mean, I was in my early 20s, and I said, well, how can you do that? And they said, well, way back in the early days of labor unions, we got the freedom to be able to file a complaint on behalf of a worker that even the worker could not object to. And I understood why back in those days they would do that. They'd have some poor little old lady working in a shirt factory sewing shirts, and she'd be told to take 10 shirts home with her and work on them at home. And so they got the freedom in the contracts to file a complaint that even the worker couldn't stop. But I was a professional worker. I said, what if I have my lawyer send you a letter and say, you can't do that on my behalf? And they said, we have the freedom to do that. And when I got that kind of treatment from a labor union that I was paying dues to, that I didn't want to be in anyway, I decided I'm going to find the quickest way out of here I possibly can. I hated that kind of relationship, and I would think that most workers would hate that kind of relationship.
Well, I think that's right, Lars, and that's the power that was granted way back in 1935. It's called monopoly exclusive representation, where they can speak for you even though you don't want them to speak for you or never ask them to speak for you. That's a power that's granted under federal law, and this bill that we have introduced here will not end that exclusive bargaining privilege, but it will certainly make them more accountable to workers, just like the Janus decision did at the Supreme Court. Union officials have to go out and attract membership, and there's nothing in this bill that Rand Paul just introduced that would stop any worker from joining a union if they wanted to, but it had to be voluntary.
That's absolutely right. Mark, keep up the great work. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lars, for the opportunity.
That's Mark Mex from the National Right to Work.